We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Now, being told that Gino Toretta chose this song, I've told, you know, Alejandro, I want all songs about paradise because of these paradise, this paradise camp that University of Miami had. Now, I don't believe you, Alejandro. I don't believe that Gino chose this particular song.
Who is this? This is Lil Uzi Vert.
Nah, Gino don't know about no damn.
Because if he was
going to
choose a paradise song, it would be maybe Gangster's Paradise,
okay.
Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, Meatloaf.
Don't believe me.
All right, well, let me go. Let me go talk with Gino.
Gino and Lil Uzi Vert.
There's
Lil.
No chance.
Lil.
Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Gino Toretta. The former Heisman Trophy winner. Did you choose this song, Gino?
Well, I just stopped laughing, and that was my response when I was asked the question. So, no, I didn't.
Of course not. Yeah. Rockin' the Paradise by Styx, right? I know what your musical style is.
No, I'm fine with it all. I was just started laughing because I was like, no idea.
Yeah.
No idea who's behind curtain number two.
Oh, it's Lil Uzi Vert.
I was going to say, behind curtain number two is Lil Uzi Vert. Gino Toretta. Now, this UM Paradise Camp, I was just saying to Crowder, like, this is so unique.
Yeah.
First of all, the name Paradise Camp is great, right? Like everything about it, but this is the first one with Manny Diaz as the head coach. So can you tell us, you were there, can you tell us a little bit like what it was like?
Well, it was awesome. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're a kid and you, I believe the camps are free and they're, you know, I don't know, they had 160 people walk, you know, recruits and high school kids walk up, you know, and register for the camp. And then, you know, you get an opportunity to you know, listen to current players, former players, the coaches, you know, and like I told the quarterbacks, I mean, if you can just learn one thing, and Michael Irvin said it best, he goes, you know, take what you learn and put it in your toolbox. Because to become a better player from when you're a freshman or high school or even in seventh, eighth grade is you have to just learn little bits and pieces. And I told the quarterbacks, I go, write down the stuff. And you might not get it right now, but just, you know, put it in your toolbox. And when you get it, then you can, you know, go out there and it's what you do when we're not out here coaching you to you know, helps you get to the next level. But, no, it's awesome. Obviously, as a former player to you know, be around guys I played with, guys I played after or before. You know, and kind of, you know, just hear the stories of Rohan Marley was kind of holding court of his recruiting visit of the former players was pretty funny before camp.
It sounds like you can't share.
Well, so Donnell Bennett, who was a running back after me, one of my running backs, so he goes, they asked me to host Rohan. And they didn't tell me his last name, nothing. They just said, his name's Rohan. He's like, oh, okay. So he goes back, and that was back when we had football dorms. It was building 36. And he goes, I'm sitting in my room, building 36. And he goes, all of a sudden, there's a knock at my door. Rohan Marley opens the door. He goes, are you ready to go? The recruit is asking his host, who's a current player, are you ready to go? And, oh, by the way, he showed up in, like, a GMC Typhoon. This would have been in the late 80s. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a kid with a, you know, $50,000 tricked-out car showing up to the current player and say, hey, you ready to go? Come on, let's go. We're going.
I mean, that is that's Crowder's dream recruit.
I love him.
Heck yeah. Wouldn't spend that $40. I'm with you, Crowder.
I had Willie Williams was my craziest recruit, and he was kind of like that, Gino. But, Gino, I got to ask you, man, I'm 100% transparency, Gino. I'm a hater because I'm a Gator. This Paradise Camp, it sounds too cool. Y'all are stealing our guys. Are y'all really trying to evaluate the kids? Are y'all trying to impress the kids? Because Paradise Camp sounds like you're shooting your shot at these young men.
Well, I mean, is there a difference? Yeah, you're trying to impress them with obviously the championships and the Hall of Famers and the guys that ran through there, and then you're evaluating. And I think the best thing Manny did was he said, "Listen, we're not doing height, weight, 40 time. You're going to go out there, learn some of the fundamentals and some plays, and then you're going to compete. Whether it's 1-on-1 and 7-on-7 for the skill guys, and you see how guys perform. And you know, kids were out there showing out. I mean, there were some impressive dudes. I mean, the tight end, I don't know the tight end's name, but everybody in America is on him from Las Vegas. This dude made Jeremy Shockey, like he dwarfed Shockey. And I had a couple quarterbacks, and they go, is that guy still in high school? And I go, yes, he's going to be his senior. I mean, he was six. He reminded me of like somebody that's Bryant McKinney's size in high school. God. I mean, he was like 6'6", 6'7", you know, maybe even bigger than that, a legit probably 260 and ripped. And he wanted to take every rep against anybody that was coming at him.
Man, that's the that's the swagger that we like. I was Gino Toretta is with us. I was reading from Christy Cabrera Chirinos in the Sun Sentinel. She had listed some of the people that were at the Paradise Camp. So you were there, Alonzo Highsmith, David Njoku, Jaquan Johnson, Sheldrick Redwine was there, Travis Homer, she said, was there. So, and there were more than that, huh?
Oh yeah, Herndon. Randall Hill was there. Shockey. Sapp was there. I mean, it was legit. I mean, the guys that were there, and you know, you have about, you know, a few hours to kind of impart your wisdom on them and see how they perform when they take some reps. So that's always fun.
I would imagine, like, younger guys though, like Jeremy Shockey probably is impressive because that's a name they probably played on video games, right? But like Gino Toretta and Alonzo Highsmith, no knock on you, I'm your age, but does it have the same cachet?
They had NC2A Madden when I was in school, didn't they? Hell, I'm still on some games.
I think it was on Atari 2600.
Hey, don't be sleeping. I got a check from them sons of bitches for not paying me up for that game.
I think Crowder got that check, too.
It wasn't a huge check, Gino, but it was a check.
Hey, exactly. If it's free, give me two of those checks.
But they impressed by you? Like, are they impressed by Gino Toretta and Alonzo Highsmith and guys maybe they didn't watch?
Well, I mean, I think when you tell somebody you won the Heisman Trophy, I think that's an impressive accomplishment.
That's a pretty good calling card. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
I think it's funny because I think a few years ago when we first did this, they basically said, okay, introduce yourself. And I'm like, what? You don't have an MC to introduce all these guys? So we had to, you know, get a microphone, or we did it without a microphone because it was outside in Green Tree, but this time we had a microphone. I wanted to introduce myself as Gino Toretta, zero-star recruit, told not to come here, 26-2 starting record as a quarterback, two titles, and 1992 national champion or an Heisman Trophy winner, and walk off the stage.
See, no one can introduce you better than you can introduce you.
That's awesome.
What do you think is more impressive to high school athletes today, Gino Toretta and him having been a Heisman Trophy winner, or Rohan Marley being the son of Bob Marley?
Oh, there's no doubt, Rohan Marley.
Yeah, because you had a better collegiate football career, but Bob Marley's his dad.
The Rohan Marley stories, I mean, I could go on and on. Well, his freshman year when he showed up at Two Days, and, you know, he was a younger kid, so the rookies were in before the veterans. I roll in, he's got a brick cell phone, and I'm like, who in the hell is this kid? And they're like, oh, that's Rohan Marley. I'm like, who? And they're like, Bob Marley's kid. And I'm like, and then every dude on the team that didn't live in Miami, they were borrowing his cell phone to churn up minutes for long distance calls for free long distance calls when he was a freshman.
So that dude, as a freshman, had the Marley money at his access.
Dude, it was he came to football camp, and I still remember this. He came to football camp when he was in high school. He checked in. Now, Hawk, you remember big screen TVs back in our day?
That was called Team Lift when you got out of the store.
You had to call a furniture mover to move your TV, right?
Yep.
He checked in to the towers as a camper for an overnight camper for a week with like a 50-inch TV screen, all his Sega Genesis. He had to give them his car keys. He had a GMC kitted out Typhoon car, like a SUV. I mean, it was absolutely hilarious. I mean, he had better stuff than anybody that was a current student.
That's unbelievable. And he was able to relate to everybody, right? Like he was a man of means, but
he was relentless on a field. I mean, hard worker. Never slowed down. I mean, it's one thing to have the means, but you know, when you go out and just, I mean, run down on kickoffs as a freshman and like a crazed dog. I mean, he was awesome to play with. We're still good buddies. He's fun.
And you know, talking about that, like the UM way, because I want to talk about it. You know, saying you hit it on earlier. Where did you see guys that were talented? But then you saw guys that were talented and UM-type players with that swag. Like the tight end made me think about it where you said he walk up and whoever lined up in front of him, he was going to beat him. Like, can you see a UM player with a talented non-UM player? Could you see the difference?
Yeah, I think, I think like Michael Irvin said in his speech, he goes, you know, listen, we told your mom, your dad, your sister, brother, niece, nephew, cousin we were going to beat you. And we were going to have fun doing it. And I think that's what, you know, we equate to the swag was going out there and just going, listen, we're going to run the ball right here. And we don't care if you know what we're going to do. We're still going to beat you doing it. And I think that there was guys out there. They were competing. They were talking. I mean, I love it. I was talking smack to Randall Hill. I was like, Randall, come on. I can outthrow you now. I mean, you see how much weight you've put on? And Ja'Cory goes, man, I love you, Gino. You're still talking crap. I'm like, why not, man? This is what it's all about. So, yes, you could tell. And Channing, you know, when you've hosted guys that – you know, let's say a guy from the Midwest, great player, may not have the kind of attitude that you're like, dude, this guy's never going to survive at Miami or Florida or one of these schools. He's going somewhere in the Midwest. He's not coming down here.
Oh, no, Gene, it was funny because I brought up Willie Williams earlier, and when I hosted him at UF, and it's a long story, he got arrested. It's a whole nother thing. We need another 30 minutes to tell the Willie Williams stories.
That was your last hosting visit when you got a recruit arrested. Yeah. Even at Christmas.
Charlie Strong cussed me out. He let me have it. But Willie Williams looked me in my eyes, and he was like, they're recruiting me to play middle linebacker. And I kind of looked back at him. And I was like, Willie, I play middle linebacker. You're going to start over me? And he kind of shrugged his shoulders. That's that Miami thought. That's that process that like, Miami guys
yeah,
have.
Yeah, it was exactly why I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
but here like to play when, middle
at,
linebacker.
At UM back in that day and at Florida when you were there, because you've told me about meeting at the Gator and whatnot in the locker room, like you're being thrown into something where you've got to be able to handle your business.
Yeah, I mean, but I think, you know, when you have a top-flight program and you're competitive, you're not giving anything to any of these kids. You know, like I told them, you know, listen, you can't script your next 5 years if you're, you know, a senior going into, your last year. I'm like, hell, if the transfer portal when I was in school was around, I probably would have tried to transfer out of Miami too. I mean, as a redshirt freshman, Craig Erickson gets hurt. I start 4 games, break the school record for passing, and I'm like, man, I got this game whipped. I can play anywhere in the country. And if I had that option, that's why you got to tell these kids, it's like they all think the grass is greener where on the other side, wherever that is, whether that's, you know, Miami, Florida, or whatever. It's like, you know, pick your place you want to go compete. And sometimes even if guys don't, you know, get a chance to start much in college, you know, they get a chance and they blossom at the next level. So it's just all about going somewhere and competing.
Gino Toretta, so tell us, Hurricanes fans are excited. It's the first season under Manny Diaz. Did this Paradise Camp feel any different than it did, you know, in the past?
Well, I think it was similar. I think, you know, Mark started it off right and got, you know, guys, you know, involved. I think the best part of what they did was moving it back to June, and they got a lot of the current active NFL guys. Because before the time frame they had it, the active guys were in mini camps and OTAs and stuff, and there wasn't a lot of active players. But to, you know, to have Joku and Herndon from the Jets and all the kids that got drafted this year, and literally Duke Johnson and literally just, you know, listen, the best thing Michael ever said, he goes, listen, you come here and you lose, you have to answer to these guys. And he pointed to all of us, because that's how it was. It was like, if you lost, you did not want to talk to any of the alumni players, because they were like, what the hell's wrong with you guys?
Hey, Gino, take all your Kane bias, your Heisman Trophy. I know it's hard to put that aside.
National championship.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I jumped the gun.
Okay over there? Gino, I haven't been down since the new facilities, the indoor facilities are built, and I know you go around.
Better than anything in Gainesville.
Don't listen to him, Gino. Answer my question, Gino.
I'm sorry.
Are the Canes caught up? Are y'all right on par with the weight room, the inside facilities? Are y'all right on par with all those top five conferences now?
Yes, I mean, facility wise, they got everything that you need and then some. I think to me, Crowder, is when Miami, Florida State, and Florida are dominant, I don't think you're practicing inside. And listen, I'm adamant. You got to be out on that grass, and you got to be sweating your know what off. And I mean, I can remember weigh-ins before practice and weigh-ins after practice. It was 6 pound minimum of sweat you were losing at practice. And if you're not doing that now, you lose some of your advantage when you get to the fall and playing games. Now, the best part is, you know, when I played, they sure as hell didn't have no lightning warning things, because there was lightning. I swear to God, it struck right in the canal, right next to our practice field. So, but now you have that, so you got to be able to go inside when the weather gets bad, you know, and lightning's in the area. So I think that's what you need the indoor facility for down here. And you know, listen, you hang up banners, and like Hawk said, they don't know, you know, 30 years ago when I played and what I accomplished. You know, they know the guys that are there now, but they hang up banners and all that fun stuff. So I think that, you know, it serves a purpose, but to me, you get your real work done outside in the heat and humidity down here.
Gino Toretta, someone texted in, took issue with the fact that I introduced you as the former Heisman Trophy winner. Said when you win a Heisman Trophy,
I tell you that every time. There's only one former winner. I think it's Reggie Bush. But
so if they take your Heisman, you're a former winner. But if, as long as you get to keep it, you're a Heisman Trophy winner. It makes sense, right?
If you were deemed ineligible, yes, I believe that.
I'm sure if they did a little digging on you, Gino, they'd take that trophy back as well.
I say
that with the pride of being a Hurricane graduate. I think
my statute of limitations on NCAA rules is way, way long gone.
Where do you have that Heisman Trophy? Where is it?
It's on the bookcase.
Does anyone come to your house and not know what that is?
No. No. I bought a Peloton bike the other day for my wife for a present, and the kids are setting up the bike, and the guy looks up the hall and he looks at me kind of cross-eyed. He goes, "Is that a Heisman Trophy?" Oh yeah.
He was probably 23, 24 years old. Didn't know what the hell was going on.
Because that's probably one of the most recognizable trophies on the planet, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
I'll give you a quick story. The best is after 9/11 when they started X-raying all the bags. So I have a hard-sided container. It's foam-filled. I can put the trophy in there, and I can check it as luggage to take it with me somewhere if I'm going to do an appearance or something like that or something for a charity, right? So in old Fort Lauderdale Airport, they had an X-ray machine, Hawk. Do you remember this? Like right when you stepped inside the door,
yep,
you would check your bag and you would have to stand there.
Yep.
And they would X-ray your bag as you stood there, right? So I still remember flying out of Fort Lauderdale. Guy puts the case up there. Now, the case and trophy, 70 pounds.
It comes with a case, by the way, or did you have to go out and get a separate? Like, do they give you the trophy with a case?
Somebody makes them, you know.
But is that an upcharge when you win the Heisman? Is the case an upcharge?
It's a charge.
We're focusing on the stupid stuff. I got a case for it.
That's the moniker for this show.
Stop focusing on the stupid stuff.
Well, but no, that would be interesting though if you win a Heisman Trophy and then you're leaving with it and they're like, also you might need a travel case for it. It's $480.
Well, one, you don't get the case until after because Eddie George, if you might recall, he checked his trophy as luggage in 1994, and it went through the X-ray machine and got stuck, and it came out with the middle finger. So it had bent two of the fingers, so it looked like his trophy was flipping everybody off. So he had to get another one. But back to my story. So the guy sitting there running the X-ray, and this would have been probably 93. I don't know. After 9/11. So I'm standing there, and the guy, I'm watching the guy with the X-ray thing with the belt. And he's like, and the case goes in. He stops it, goes forward a little bit, goes back a little bit. Then he like leans out so he can not see the screen and he can look at me, right? And he's like looking at me and he's looking at the trophy. He's looking at me, he's looking at the trophy. And then he goes, "Hey, Joe, Jim, come on, we got to open up this case. We got to look at we got extra security look at the Heisman." I mean, it's absolutely hilarious.
It's funny, like because you can imagine the X-ray visual on that. It looks exactly like a Heisman Trophy, and then he recognizes you.
But I don't know if he recognized me. I think he was thinking like, "Who's this white boy? Why does he have a Heisman Trophy with this case?" You know, I was like, "Who is this clown?"
Look like Reggie Bush.
Thought you stole it.
So you don't know if you had to buy the case? It just came with the case?
I think I did buy the case.
Oh, you did? Okay. Can you put other stuff in there, or is it only for transporting the Heisman?
No, it's got enough foam. It's like cut foam and injected foam to where you have to jam it in there.
I got
you. Can you imagine checking it as luggage? The thing's going to bounce around. Yeah, you can't put anything else in there.
Yeah, you can't let that out of your sight.
Every time I go somewhere and I bring the trophy, you know those little papers they put in your bags when the TSA actually checks your bags?
Yeah.
Which happens every so often. 100% of the time that case is open.
Right.
And a slip is put in there.
They alert you that it was actually checked by hand. Oh, but who wouldn't want to look through the Heisman Trophy luggage?
I'm shocked I haven't seen pictures like on social media. Like, hey, look what we just had roll through, Raleigh-Durham Airport today.
Yeah.
It'd kind of be genius to get a Heisman Trophy replica and put cocaine inside and ship it. To be honest, Gino, I'm just spitballing
well,
here.
Well, he's already got the case.
I don't know. But that would be bad, Channing. See, that's the
Oh, right. Yeah, they're going to check that. Right, right.
It's going to get looked at.
Right,
it's going to get opened and scrutinized.
Hmm. Right. Yeah, they're looking. Yeah.
Probably not the best thing.
There's your Florida Gator education. That's why he spent nights in jail.
Sorry, I can't traffic drugs.
Channing's not a drug dealer.
Oh, they catch me in 3 days. What is that, Mr. Crowder? I don't know. We're all fine. Let me go.
Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner and proud participant at Paradise Camp. We're excited. August 24th. That's when it all starts, Gino.
I'm looking forward to it.
Any chance Miami's going to beat Florida?
Any chance? Yeah. I know there's a chance. Why wouldn't there be a chance?
How good a chance?
Huh?
How big a boy are you?
How good a chance?
What are you trying to figure out how much you're going to bet Crowder right now?
Yeah, well, we've been back and forth on this thing, man.
And Gino, I would just let you know if you're putting some money up, just come on and call me. Don't worry about any bookies. I'm taking bets.
He is riding that Gators, man. He is certain.
Don't be that guy, Channing. I had some friends that thought they could be bookies too because bookies always win, and they got cleaned out.
Yeah.
I'm just doing 1 week, Gino. One game this year. I'm going to take the book.
Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner. Thank you, Gino.
See you guys.
All right. I absolutely love that. Perfect moniker for this show.
We have to get that quote.
Focus. Stop focusing on the stupid stuff. It's all I do. It's how my head works.
We have to have that
He could
quote.
Not have encapsulated the show any better than with that one angry outburst. Stop focusing on the stupid stuff.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.